All right. Well, welcome to our podcast today. Pete Russo here, responsible for products and strategy at Decisive. We're taking the opportunity of basically revamping our ecosystem white paper to refresh it and take a look ahead. To do that, I'm really pleased to have Sarah House here as well as Ronnie Shaw. Sarah leads the part of our product that faces the users. So she handles applications, user research, user interface, that side of things. And Ronnie handles the data side, APIs, integrations, that side of things. So really we have the two halves of our platform here that serves the SRM ecosystem, both sides represented. I'm hoping that they're going to do most of the talking. So we'll see how this goes. Just to get us started, you know, I think the one thing about our ecosystem, it is all about connecting all of the different stakeholders in the service management process, you know, from fleets and asset managers to the service providers that are providing them service to the equipment manufacturers that are providing those assets. And then on top of that, now we have the component manufacturers that provide some of the key components like the engines or transmissions or what have you. And then value-added partners as well that we've had in the ecosystem and are continuing to expand. Telematics providers, diagnostic system providers, data providers. So we bring them all together into that system of collaboration and continue to extend and expand that ecosystem. You know, at the heart of it, as I mentioned, is the platform that's connecting all of those together. And I want to highlight two sides of that, as I mentioned. And I'll first go with Sarah and talk about what are things that we're doing and what are capabilities in the platform that are going to drive the user experience.
That's a great question. So we've started out with something that we call the key design system. That is a design system that we've constructed based on feedback from our network, from users in our platform, people in shops, people driving trucks, giving us feedback on what works for them and what doesn't in a user interface. So what we've done is we've taken that feedback. We've put together a really nice, user-friendly, consistent, highly extensible system where we have these kind of elements as components that we can pick up and reuse kind of like little Lego blocks in the UI and rebuild and build new things in the ecosystem in a way that's very visually appealing, right? And now we have that framework, we have that kind of baseline ready to go. And now we're talking about platform enhancements, ecosystem enhancements that we want to add on here. Because at the end of the day, what we really want to be able to do, and Pete alluded to this, is to take the things that drive service that very much require a human to be interacting. So the coordination, the communication, the collaboration that's required on all sides of the asset to make sure that service gets done efficiently and effectively as possible for everyone, and really highlight those and build those things out in our platform. And then otherwise, we're working on a lot of things that would be toward the end of making things a lot more automated, less manual, right? People want to manage by exception. They don't want to have to go press a button every time that they want something to change a status. You know, can the system just do that on its own? Great, right? Let's make it do it on its own. And then you only have the things left in there that a human really needs to do, right? Pick up a phone, have a conversation if there's a delay or if there's a problem. The system can't do that the same way a human does. So let's focus on that type of interaction and that type of value add there. And then the other side of it is what we do with the data and analytics that we get in the system to drive some of those enhancements and to drive that interaction and to drive the automation that we want as well. That's really the big part of things that we're focusing on for the roadmap and for the ecosystem now.
So I know most of the users of our platform probably don't know what the key design system is. So what I'd like you to share with us is what are things in the platform that they have experienced that were built using key design system?
What a great question. So a few things that might come to mind. If you've seen the new Quick Stop banner in our UI, that is all of our key components. So if you go to kind of a case detail page and you see that portion at the top of the page there where it's got the four fields that you can configure to kind of have the values that you care most about up at the top of the page, that's built with our components. The other new thing that we've built with that is a whole new application called SRM Sentinel. And that's newly released this year, brand new system, all about managed care and driving preventive maintenance, driving predictable maintenance and things like that into shops. That entire application was built using the Key Design system.
And conveniently, it connects to the rest of the platform with the APIs that Ronnie's team is taking care of. So Ronnie, I'll use that as my segue. Now, I know we talk about the four C's of SRM, begin with connectivity, and then we get to communications, control, and consistency, but starts with connectivity, and that brings us to our APIs. So can you give us some API highlights, and what are some of the things your team is working on and bringing to market this year?
Sure, Pete. Thanks for having me. So from our application programming interface, our APIs, we're extending the perspective of the connectivity lens. Traditionally, we're powerful in the OEM and service provider area. We are now extending into the fleet arena. So from a fleet perspective, they can apply their own business logic to their ecosystem, providing them the visibility into their assets, the service in which those assets are being managed, to be able to communicate through the same and similar mechanisms they have from our platform, but from their own application. So from an API perspective, it enables them to expand beyond what their platform is able to do and providing that visibility so the service of those assets are met.
Outstanding. I know we have lots of different types of those users that I mentioned using our APIs, from the service providers and their DMS or DBS business system provider partners, to fleets that are using APIs, extending to call centers, the manufacturers themselves, and component providers for sure. So all the way around the ecosystem.
Yeah. So to build on that, the lens of the provider and the fleet can also be extended to our partners as well. So those partners will have total access to our APIs from an ingestion perspective. So we can ingest telematics data. We can provide that telematics data to the service provider, and then we can extend that visibility as well to the fleet. So from a partner's perspective, they can apply additional business rules to suit their own specific needs.
I want to actually now circle back to Sentinel, SRM Sentinel that Sarah mentioned. And can you tell us how you're using the data from the APIs in that application and presenting that to the user in a consumable way?
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually really cool. So if you haven't seen it yet, I highly recommend taking a stop by decisive.com and looking at our marketplace website there. There's a really great video that we produced about that entire application. But really what we've done is we've taken data that already resides in the Decisive SRM ecosystem, information that's been on the platform for a long time, actually. So we're talking about PM schedules, telematics and meter data. We're talking about fault codes, campaigns, recalls, warranties. All of this information is essentially served to that SRM Sentinel application via APIs. And what we're doing is we are presenting it in this really nice user-friendly dashboard where you can basically say, these are all the assets that I care about. Show me which ones need some sort of service done for them so that I can be proactive and get that service scheduled. What we're able to do is take that information that you've probably already seen in a case or in an asset detail page in the platform and highlight it, basically. So using some color coding, you know, red for danger, orange or yellow for, you know, hey, watch out, and blue or green for kind of like just like a heads up or informational status, and let people like really at a glance through the Key Design system and through this data that we're exposing, make decisions really quickly about what needs attention and how, what to do with it. So how, if they need to get something scheduled, if it's really urgent, if it can wait a little while. And then what we do is we allow you to quickly kind of create the framework for a new case, or, you know, soon we'll be able to create a service request, again, using APIs, which essentially takes the information that you've gathered about that asset and the services that you want conducted to alleviate those alerts that you know need to be addressed on that asset, and have that information flow back to the case application as well. So it's this really great closed loop where you see what needs attention, you schedule it for service, schedules reset, things like that. But it's all conducted through those APIs and through that key design system UI.
That's a great example. There's your control, your third C of our four C's, where, like you were saying, at a glance, I can determine what action I need to take and then completely close that loop.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and the other part is that we're also, like we talked about communication too, right? There's a huge element to that application that really centers around the communication and the coordination between the fleet customer and the provider or dealer so that they are each setting the right expectations, they're on the same page, they're having communication and coordination that's also able to be captured in the application as well.
Outstanding. We've been talking about the application from our perspective. So let's say, well, who is it actually built for? Like, tell me what is the person or people that are going to use that application?
So right now, our first kind of 1.0 release of Sentinel is really tailored to a dealer or provider user. So the intent is that someone who's probably looking at assets that typically are fed into one or multiple shops within a dealer network or provider network, they're kind of taking an overarching view of all of the assets that they care about and identifying which of those that need service. So they take this UI, they say, these are the assets that I care about. Me as a dealer, these are my customers. Maybe you're engaged with them already in like a contract maintenance agreement. Maybe you want to be, right? You use this tool basically and you say, these are these customers that I want to engage this way. These are their assets and these are the ones of those assets that need attention. So you can just kind of go down that list and schedule those assets for service. Now you can do a couple different things in that regard too. You as that dealer, as that provider, want to be very much, I think, a trusted partner with that fleet customer. You want them to feel comfortable. You want them to be able to feel like they can outsource to you effectively, efficiently, their service needs so that they can focus on the things that they really care about, right? Most fleets want to just focus on their main line of business, right? They don't want to be experts in service. So let you do that for them as that dealer partner there. So what you want to be able to do is effectively communicate around those assets and the service that they need. So we give you tools to do that within this application as well. We have this really cool kind of integrated phone call kind of system from Amazon. We have the ability to send emails and notifications that way. There are in-app notifications, all kinds of things really to facilitate that communication and the expectation setting as well. Because not only do you want to make sure that that fleet is good with the appointment time that you're setting up for them, you also want to make sure that they actually want the services that you're planning for them as well. They may say, oh, well, you know, you told me I have 3 PMs coming due and there's one warranty that's about to expire. I really just want to take care of the 2 PMs, not the warranty, and maybe I'll defer the third PM as well, right? You can do that in the system. And then that way, when that asset shows up for its appointment, everybody knows what is expected to be done, what's not going to be done at that appointment. You can have parts pulled already. Everybody's ready to go. That asset then can get in and out of that shop in like record time, basically, because everybody's already on the same page about what's going to happen.
That's outstanding. All right. So I teased a little bit about some stats about our APIs. I just found this out myself. I was pretty excited about it. I was like, whoa, those are big numbers. So first of all, our APIs are calling other systems. So as I mentioned before, we're connected to lots of systems from our customers and partners, and we're making 2.5 million API calls a month on average. So that's a lot of calls out to those applications that we're doing, you know, bringing in, for example, the type of data that Sarah was talking about, warranty information or recalls and campaigns or truck vehicle information or customer information or what have you. The other way around, though, people coming to Decisive with their systems, they are making 1.5 million API calls on average a day. So the other number I gave you was a month. This is a day. So if you know, calculated that out, that's like 45 million calls a month, right? That's a big number.
That's a lot.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's clearly a lot of value in the platform and the connectivity that our partners and customers are seeing. So Ronnie, this is really turning back to you now. When we look at the scale of the platform, these 45 million calls a month to our platform, we know we've crossed the 19 million cases boundary recently. So we have 19 million service events on the platform, many assets, many locations participating. How are we using that data, all of that information, really to the benefit of our customers and partners?
Great. Yeah, it's a great way to ingest all that data from what types of assets are coming in, what type of service events are coming on, what's the estimated cost of those, what are the operations. And so from a reporting and data analytics perspective, the path forward is to provide our customers with that hands-on ability to have embedded visualizations within the platform themselves. So they have that information at their hand at the operation that they're working on at that moment. The other capability where we want to provide them is to be able to manipulate that data on their own, drill down, filtering, sorting, exporting. They control their data, all this data that's coming in. We want to provide that capability so that they can manipulate and get the answers that they're looking for. In addition to consuming all this data, we can now take that data and apply artificial intelligence, machine learning capabilities to this data to begin to forecast and do anomaly detection. Forecasting such as what is the potential cost of this asset based on the mileage, meter data, service events, service costs, the asset attributes compared to other similar like assets and make models, and project what the likely cost or potential future costs based on the trends and of all this data that we have. The other thing that we can look at from forecasting anomaly detection is applying when those breakdowns may or may not occur based on that particular make model and the years and the attributes and the VMRS encoding, we can project what service event that asset may require. So these are some of the items that we're leveraging with the data that we have to provide that capability to our customers, be able to forecast, be able to say if a certain activity or threshold or anomaly has occurred, automatically do this activity. So Sarah talked about predictive and preventive maintenance. When an asset has come through and it has met a threshold, met a particular anomaly, automatically schedule that asset for its operation at that particular dealership. So with this technology, with this data, these are some of the capabilities that we're looking to provide to our customers.
Now that would be cool.
Absolutely. So one of the analogies I'd like to draw now is today, especially since the pandemic happened, it's commonplace that we're on Zooms or conference calls or teleconferences or whatever. When that technology first came out, it was being sold as a, hey, you're going to save money if you use this platform. You're going to travel less. You're going to, you know, be able to be more in contact with your customers, with your remote workers, all of that, right? Stuff today is commonplace. But when it first came out, that was not the norm. And basically, the only way that you would actually save money is if you actually use the platform. So the companies that were selling that technology, really, it was all about how do they help their customers adopt that platform, engage on the platform, and use it to its fullest extent so that they could actually achieve the benefits that were promised. So I think about that example, and I think about our ecosystem and the fact that all of these examples we've talked about, there's a service request from a fleet to a provider. I want to schedule an appointment at a dealership, so I need to worry about that. I'm an OEM. I want to deliver certain data to people in context, the right place at the right time. You can just keep going on around all of the different players in the ecosystem. Sarah, what's your view about driving that adoption and engagement? And to what extent, you know, can people dip their toe? They go all in. What's your take on that?
I mean, from my perspective, go all in, right? You get the biggest bang for your buck from this system when you are really heavily engaged with it. When you're putting a little bit of time and effort to kind of tend this application, you're going to get the most out of it. And that's because your communication, your coordination, your historical records, and your audit trails are all right there at your fingertips. Because you've put them in there, right? If you do your communication, your coordination through our notes functionality, if you do your monitoring through our vision or insight platform, if you are doing your planning and your scheduling with the SRM Sentinel application, you have a complete picture of your service, of what's going on with your asset, of what's going on with your shop in one place. And the more you put into it, the better it gets.
I totally get that. So I would say, ask you the same question, Ronnie, from your perspective in terms of the value that you can provide from the data, what would be your perspective on the extent to which you'd like to see the adoption and engagement?
Yeah, from an adoption standpoint, the more data that comes in from our fleets, the more service events are generated, the more insights that are generated. And our studies have shown the more you use our SRM platform, the more revenue is generated by the service provider.
We got the numbers to prove it. So
that's
we've seen some studies from some of our OEM customers and also some of the consultants in the industry that work with our customers on adopting best practices for service management. Everybody benefits, right? The OEM and the service network benefits in terms of increased part sales. We've shown that we can increase part sales upwards of 15%. For that OEM, if they're using this and they're engaging with their customer, that customer is more likely to recommend that brand. We've shown that. And again, studies show numbers bordering on 20% increase in that brand recommendation. If we talk about the fleet or the asset operator, a huge reduction in driver turnover of 30%. I mean, that is huge. Not only that, in the back office of the fleet, 50% reduction in phone communication, because they're able to have this information at their fingertips, as well as, you know, being able to do a lot of that digital communication that is has an audit trail. And then we turn to the service provider themselves. Big issue for them is triage time. How quickly can I get these trucks, these trailers, these APUs, whatever it is, how quickly can I get them into a bay and have a technician working on it? And how accurately can I do that triage to know that I'm fixing it right the first time? So we've seen these numbers are staggering, really. 70% reduction in triage time. A lot of that comes from, like Sarah was talking about with the service planning. If I already know the faults that are on the unit and what's coming due on the unit, I'm ready to go at the shop. Same with the fix it right the first time. 90% fix it right the first time. These numbers really demonstrate that if you are all in, you will benefit, your customers will benefit, your partners will benefit. And it's just a continuing upward spiral, really, of benefit for the ecosystem.
Yeah, it's easy to see, right? Once you're all in there, you're seeing the same information. You're on the same page from start to finish around these service events. You can't get that with a phone call. You can't get that with this just a one-off email. You have all of this in the ecosystem and suddenly things go a lot more smoothly.
Absolutely. From our perspective, let's do a quick what's next. And I'll wrap up at the end of that with my view of what's next.
So we know that, you know, spurred on by COVID in 2020 and things like that, the ecosystem right now is very heavily invested and interested in going paperless. We've seen a lot of our dealers be very interested in ways that they can leverage the ecosystem to get to a paperless state. And luckily, we already have most of the functionality that they need in the platform to do that effectively. So we do have some enhancements planned for that. We also are planning, as I alluded to earlier, some enhancements to do with communication and coordination. So being able to communicate in multiple formats, do it one time, have it kind of spread out N times across a few different modes of communication there. We are planning that out, which I'm very excited for. I think that's going to be a huge time saver and a huge value to, I think, particularly service advisors, who I'm sure would be very happy for that. We are also planning some enhancements to the overall usability and user experience in the platform, which would include being able to kind of access our applications and our capabilities more efficiently from kind of one area as opposed to different URLs or things like that. So the communication updates that we're planning are really going to benefit that service advisor. I think they're going to be very excited for those enhancements coming out. On the flip side, their counterparts kind of over on the fleet you know, they also will ostensibly benefit from a lot of those communication enhancements as well. But for them in particular, we've got a couple things in mind. One is some pretty major feature additions around invoices and how those get handled and rolled up into and then reported on in the SRM Decisive ecosystem as well. And in addition to that, we're also planning some updates to our PM scheduler. So there's an application or a functionality in the application already where you can create, manage, maintain your PM schedules. And we're going to be doing a lot of enhancements to that for both actually the fleet and for the provider side. So I'm excited for that. I think that's going to be huge. That's going to drive managed care use cases. The invoice enhancements, I think, are going to drive a lot of additional value add in our data and our analytics side. I think even down the road, things like TCO and all that type of stuff is going to be a lot more possible with the introduction and the ability to kind of analyze and work with that invoice data, in addition to just simple reconciliation against estimates as well.
Ronnie, how about yourself when you look ahead?
Right. To piggyback on what Sarah's saying about communication and being notified, we're enhancing our API capabilities so that when activities are around your service event from your asset, from notes or attachment, you're immediately notified. And so system integrators can know what to do when that they receive that notification near real time. So we're very excited about that sort of real-time notification standpoint. In addition to our APIs, we're building out the customization to allow the users to customize the types of loading of the assets and managing of the assets and editing, et cetera, all remotely through our APIs. For our reporting analytics, we're going to go all in on our forecasting and modeling of anomalies and analytical insights.
All right, so I'll close this out. My view looking ahead is the growth and expansion of the ecosystem. You know, we're continuing to go into new areas. You know, we see electrification coming, we're moving in that direction. We've already been on the connectivity trail. You know, when autonomous comes, we'll be there. So we're continuing to expand that, additional service networks, additional manufacturers, additional types of fleets and asset managers. The other side is intelligent. And this brings in a lot of what Ronnie was saying about the insights and the data. If we do have everyone all in, whether you're using our applications or you're using the APIs, you're leveraging all the capabilities, you also get the benefit of leveraging your data and the insights that come from that data. And we can basically feed that back into the system and start to automate those steps, as Sarah was talking about earlier. Where can we automate? Where can we predict? Where can we add those prognostics to make these different steps in the service process more intelligent? You know, and that will lead to, again, more of that reduction in triage time, more of the fix it right the first time, more of better service planning, basically more asset uptime. So all of those things that benefit all of the players in the ecosystem. So that is a quick look ahead. And hopefully you got a good appreciation for the picture of what we're doing on the platform to benefit everybody in the ecosystem, both the application side, looking at key design system, our applications on the data side, looking at the APIs, the analytics, and so forth, looking ahead and continuing to basically drive our industry forward. So thank you to Sarah and Ronnie for joining me today. And I look forward to our next chat about what's ahead.
This is great. Thanks, Pete.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks for having us.